I know you're really enjoying that music, but hello. Take your Bible tonight and turn to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Let's stand and read it tonight, please. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. That's not talking finances. It's talking about the wealth of a Christian home, the wealth of living for God. It's talking about the wealth of the peace that's in that home. So many people said, well, you know, if you serve God, he'll give you a Ferrari or something. Well, I don't see that. A lot of people I've met that are very poor people, but boy, I'll tell you, God has richly blessed them in their home. Wealth and riches shall be his house, be in his house, and righteousness endureth forever. There's what we're looking for. On the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious. That's the man. He's gracious. You ought to try to be gracious. Full of compassion. See, somebody needs some help. You have compassion for them. And righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of the evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his delight upon his enemies. Father, I pray tonight you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us wisdom. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to help us tonight, that we'd be a blessing and a help and encouragement to our church. I, many times, overwhelmed what you've given us here. And I thank you, Lord, for it. And it's not of us, it's you. So I pray tonight you'd work in our hearts and make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Each year brings new opportunities for faith and for the service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many people have already made New Year's resolutions. But as a church, we should ask God for a vision, a new vision, a vision for bringing salvation through Jesus Christ to our world. That's really why we're here. Tonight's vision, night service, I want to celebrate some great victories that God has given us in last year. Then I want you to look at some things. First of all, I want you to look at some kind of pictures I've thrown up here. And And we have an IT man that helps preacher.
What does IT stand for again?
Information technology. Intelligent. I wish that were true. I wish that made me intelligent. Yeah, we promise this is really going to work good, and I wouldn't have to worry about it. I hate technology because of this, because a lot of times you go to churches and they have all this kind of stuff going on, and there you go. There. Okay. This guy here loves you with all his heart. Can you cut these lights right off here? Just the front ones. This guy loves you with all his heart. And without question. I've seen a lot of people come. I've seen a lot of people go. And I look forward to a whole bunch of new people coming in. I was so blessed to have Joey come back home. And Joey, I can't tell you what it was to see you. You saw me teared up when I first saw you. And I just believe with all my heart that God has some great things for us. I think that hopefully we'll see a lot of this going on in our church. And then we got this guy. I've known a lot of preachers. I've never seen anybody grow in power and dynamics that I've seen Brother Joe. And we have had the privilege of being friends for years. And I asked him a couple years ago, I said, Joe, I said, he was having some trouble with some meetings. Some people were just dropping him. I mean, you know, 3 weeks before, and says, oh, we're not going to use you. We're having a financial trouble in our church, and we just don't think we can afford having you in. You can't afford not to have the guy in. That's revival, you know. And so I wish you'd pray for him. I want you to also pray for our missionaries. Brother Walker, they won't be here this year, but next year they're coming. And for a cowboy, we're having a cowboy Sunday again. And, boy, thank God for that. I don't know where that guy came from. That's a photo bomb if I ever seen one, amen. And then, of course, some other of our missionaries. I want to challenge you to learn your missionaries and pray for them by name every day. Wanderers, my goodness, how we love those kids. Problems they've been through. The Vest, Charlie Vest, little girl. And thank God for her. And then I want to encourage people to go to the to pastors' conferences. There are three pastors' conferences I'd recommend to you. There's the one out in North Valley, which is coming up in March, and I'm really trying to get assistant pastor Rick to go to it and his wife. But he's not going to take anybody with him. Because the last time he took that family, we spent a lot of money on them. They moved to Texas. So you ain't going to take nobody with you. Crabtrees. And then our Easter time. I'm always thrilled to see our people that love the Lord and come at Easter and take their pictures up there. Oops. I'm going too fast here. All right. And next Easter there will be 5, 6, 7 of them, amen. So praise the Lord. And then, of course, we always have those that move. That's the story of Heritage Baptist Church. They just moved the Beermans. I couldn't find a picture of Sammy. I don't know where it was at. But, you know, these folks that have moved and went away and serving God and going off to college. And Brother Bierman should have never moved. He's only here for less than a year, and all of a sudden they took him from us. And what blessing people. And then we have, of course, the graduation. And thank God for our kids to go away to Christian college. And we thank God for that. We need to pray for her. College is not cheap. Expensive. So pray for our dear Coistrel. And then, of course, we always have our college tour groups coming through. What a lot of fun they are. Many times they come during vacation Bible school. And I always try to get them to come to my house. And when they get to my house, I get them to sing, amen. And they said, hey, can we sing for Mrs. Shear? And they sang for her. And then she got up and sang for them, amen. Christ on her sang for them, amen. And then, of course, Vacation Bible School. Yes, sir. I love Bible school. I suppose you can't tell, huh? And good night. I really tried to get that rebel flag out there. I couldn't do it. So we're not going to have the North and the South again. And, of course, Vacation Bible School. Wonderful time, wonderful time. A couple of my buddies. Amen. And Bible school is an awful great time in our lives. How many worked Bible school last year? God bless you. Amen. I hope you're ready to get signed up again. Vacation Bible School starts June the 14th. Unfortunately, that's the same day that the conference out in the West Coast is starting. And then, of course, during Bible school, we also get some of these crazy guys and come in. I try to take them over to places. I took them to Lewis and Clark. And these are the Crown College boys. And just as crazy as they come, I'll tell you. A little more Vacation Bible School stuff, lining up. His mother said, he likes those balls. And of course, nothing like having Vacation Bible School and all the little boys and girls hearing about Jesus, amen. And then that was a lot of fun this year. And then, of course, being a chaplain, I would go to schools, and that man right there is one of their federal law enforcement instructors. And I'm holding, you see this little guy, I'm holding, I won the speech contest, and we had a lot of fun. And what was really a blessing is my son got to pin in my senior badge. And these couple of guys are really good friends of mine. One's out of Oregon, one's out of Washington, just dear friends. And I get to see them once a year. I'll get to see them in February here. Then Vacation Bible School. Hey. Probably the craziest kids I've ever had at Bible school, camp in my life, are these guys. They were just nuts. Like camp, is there a lot of decision made there? This is my crew I had to work with. And here's some of our kids singing. Some more of them singing. I don't know. A couple of my buddies. A couple of Marsh's buddies. A couple of our bus kids from church. And these are the ones that I think those are learning the most memory verses. And some of our staff singing. And wonderful. I had a picture of two girls holding these great big watermelons up, eating them. And if you've ever done PowerPoint, you know that sometimes it says, no, I'm just going to eat all your stuff and you have to start again. The girls. We love, and Brother Combs preached all week, and then he came up to our church. Appreciate that. And then family camp. Flat tire. That didn't stop that girl. Mm-mm. She's coming to camp, all right. She couldn't wait to stay in one of those cabins, amen, all right. Finally, we have fire. We have a bonfire, huh? Yeah. Boy. That was good. Amen. Yeah, we had a great time. Amen. Fernie, doesn't look like you're happy there. Fernie is thinking, I am so tired and I'm cold. Amen. And then lots of fun. Huh? Brother, you ought to go down there so you can see. He's got probably the dirtiest face I've ever seen in my life. Amen. Hey, Brother Larry. Ah, yes. Making them buns, amen. And the singing, amen. A lot of fun at family camp. I hope that you'll choose to go to family camp. I hope in our vision tonight, I want to give you a vision that you ought to go every place your church goes so you get a chance to have a part of it. I just want to show you that the lawn was mowed, amen. Ah, man, this is one of our great annual picnics. We had a great flight of airplane. I want to see that again. Please tell Pat I'm sorry. Annual picnic is great. And then, of course, we got people that work in law enforcement in our church. And, of course, we had a very difficult time this year. And one of our buddies. I worked with him the day before at a funeral. Laughing and cutting up, just going crazy. And then have him struck down like that. Then our Sunday school classes. And then our men that served proudly in the for us. Chief Master Sergeant. Boy, I'm proud of you, brother. And our Marines. Amen. God bless them. And then, babies. Thank God for babies. Now, you'll see, I was in a suit that day. You'll see this while I was riding my motorcycle that day. And that was, that's that little Tiffany Moore's baby. And then we have singles in our church. And I put that up there thinking of Diana. She's had a tough year this year. And she just told me she's going to have another surgery. So you pray for her. Then sportsman's camp. Oh, boy. What a lot of fun. Brother Rudy. Amen. He told me to tell y'all hi. Hallelujah, he said. Amen. And then sportsman camp. Don't miss sportsman camp. I mean, that thing flings them out. Amen. Then, of course, our ladies' mini spectacular. I think one of the finest we've ever had. That's my brother-in-law. Mrs. Wall is probably the most, what's the word for it? It has to be Zach. We're there quite a while. There it is. After we got it done, it looks pretty good, huh? And then they started coming in. Amen. What a wonderful time we had. There's a couple of refreshment girls. Amen. And for some of you don't know, that's Marcia's sister, and then Patty Albert, and then my sister, Lois, and then Marilyn, and then Sharon, and then Marcia's sister, Barb. And Marcia was cold, so she got a coat on. You are the funniest three ladies I've ever met in my life. Had a great time giving gifts. Miss Sherry got a pair of spurs this year for all the work she's done with Mrs. Shear. And boy, I love the decorations. And had a little birthday party for Marcia. It's one of my favorite pictures. Too bad it's blurry. And then Bobby Brown came. Amen. We had a great, great time, Bobby Brown. In our Sunday school classes. Boy, thank God for you folks to teach Sunday school. And then we had some pretty we sucked a lot of air during a couple days. Thank God that little one's doing okay. And a little selfie here. We went down after our lowrider bus for some of you. I will be talking about our lowrider bus in a little bit, and thank God for Zinga, the Chief Master Sergeant. He's got the gun, amen. And look who's working. What's that? That's what happened. He used to have a lot of hair, turned that gone. Then, of course, we had Brother Willette. What a blessing that brother is. Coming back next year, amen. Now, of course, the day that we had our notorious people that came in and busted every door that was locked, and $5,000 to get them fixed. Back to good stuff, amen? Pumpkin Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen. And then, of course, the more babies. See, that's That was before, now after the after picture, amen. And then we have Thanksgiving. He ate the whole thing. What was that? And then we had our Christmas progressive supper. Lots of fun there. Took everybody in the bus, went singing. And then we had our Sunday school, our bus Christmas party. And then we had Born to Die. It was a tremendous deal. Thank you, folks, for all the work you put into that. Thank God for Brother Scott, very good at it. And Brother James singing. Here's our new choir director, Miss Tina. Thank God for you, sis. Amen. What a blessing. That boy's serious. Amen. Now I want to thank all those that helped with my wife. We just thank you so much. One of those things, some of you don't understand, these three girls for about 25, 26 years have been buddies. And do you like them, Marcia? Yeah, I wish I had more pictures of everybody here. Going for their walk. Little kids, that's a little napper boy. And here's a couple of buddies of mine. Trouble and more trouble. And he thought he dressed himself for Sunday. Isn't that great? Mom and Daddy in here? There you are, all right. Now, in my office I have some props and I get the kids to put them on. Thank God for families. Thank God for two generations in our church. Actually, three generations. And thank God for our food afterward. Look at old Joe Mark. Boy, he's enjoying it, amen?
Don't touch this.
Leave my ice cream alone. And then our new families. And some of you don't know, this is Joey's three sisters. And I hope one of these days they get to come out and see us. Amen. So that is kind of some of the things I want to talk to you about. And now if I can get back where I was at, all right. Give me some lights, Doc. I'm done with my pictures. My desire as a pastor is that we would have more souls saved and in our church, and that God would build up our membership, and we'd have more baptisms. We've changed our mission conference, and I'll give you a list of the dates that we've done. We changed it to try to get away from that snow, get away from cold weather, and hope and get away from Mother's Day. And hope we can get that taken care of. Ministry reports, our bus is running. We have more kids on bus now. Sunday schools, we're thank God for you Sunday school teachers. Thank God for our nurseries. Thank God for Vacation Bible School. Thank God I didn't put a juvenile detention. I do have a picture of that. And thank God for for doing that. I appreciate it so much. It's a big deal. If kids don't hear it. And thank God for you going over there and doing that. Amen. That's a tremendous thing. Also, rest homes. Thank God for Brother Rick. Brother Rick is holding on that thing. Praise God for that. Chaplaincy program. I worked at two of them, one at the sheriff's office. Been very busy the last 3 or 4 weeks, so I've been up there, I think, once or twice. It's a great opportunity to let them know that Jesus loves them. These men are under great, great pressure today, media and everything. And Brother Scott said something this morning. I wish that you would do that when you see officers. Thank him for what he's doing. and tell them that your pastor prays for you and you pray for them. Amen. Not just praying that you're not going to give you a ticket, but you know. All right. And in February, I'll go to Oregon, as I go every year, and pick up some more information on being a good chaplain, but it's really helped me in my ministry. Annual picnic, great time, youth camps, family camp meeting, Sportland camp, mini spectacular pastor conference in Santa Clara, our pastor's conference in North Valley, and then they have a homecoming at First Baptist Church Hammond in October, and I hope some of us can go to that. That's just a blessing. I'm going to talk about last year's project, we bought a new bus, and we got our plan for the steeple. We had some folks that moved. We had Kleista went to Golden State Baptist College down in Santa Clara. Samuel Salcedo went to the Heartland Baptist College, and continue to pray for him. And if you would give your undivided attention to me tonight, I'd like to share my vision for 2015. First of all, I have a great desire to see God greatly praised. And I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be high and lifted up. I want you to catch a vision. And here are some goals that I think that I've set for myself and also hopefully set for you. We now have a blessed new year ahead of us, 12 months, for our church ministries. Church ministries can't do anything without you. You got to be faithful. And I want to unveil some of the things that we can see the Lord's power in. They're not superficial in our Christianity, but they're true. That the world should know without a doubt that we are lovers of Christ, and we are without a doubt followers of Jesus Christ, who is God. I want to be unashamedly a Christian. I want to be a Bible-toting, Bible-quoting, Bible-believing without a doubt. I bear my body the marks of a Christian. And there are so many brothers in foreign lands who are really living in great fear. They're in underground churches and quietly preach and praise the Lord. Here we live in the greatest country in the world, and we should be shouted from the housetops that we are Christians of the Almighty Jehovah God. Therefore, I'm going to diligently read my Bible through at least one time in 2015. And I hope you join me with that. At this time, I'm going to ask the usher, they give out that yellow list, please. I picked this up. You can find, and the internet has packs of these things. You just download them. I took this one. I thought this was a simple one. And you can mark when you read it. And the first week, of course, we're in the second week now. The first week you read the epistles on the first day, on Sunday, the law on Monday, history on Tuesday, Psalms on Wednesday. Isn't that cute? And poetry on Thursday and prophecy on Friday and gospels on Saturday. And it kind of gives you, it breaks it down pretty, a little different way of doing it. I know we do it in the Sword of the Lord version in the in our bulletin, but this is a little different. And this, you can fold it in three and you can just keep marking it. You know, hey, I got that done. And sometimes, I understand you get busy. Well, you can go back and you can finish. And so I want to really encourage you to do that. I want you to read your Bible this year. If you've never read your Bible, 2015 should be the time you read your Bible. Read the Bible through. Read it through. There are different ways you can read it. One, there are a lot of MP3 players out there that have the King James Version you listen to. Practically every night when I go to bed, I put my earplug in and I start listening to the Bible all through. I want to know about God. I want to know that God loves me and cares for me and he protects me and looks after me. So I'm going to diligently read my Bible through at least once this year. Number two, I'm going to pray every day. Now, I want you to catch that. I want you to pray every day. Number three, I'm going to, by faith, be at every church service at Heritage Baptist. I promise God that I will be in my place by God's grace. So I want you to promise that to yourself. I'm going to be in church. I understand when you guys have your drills, and I understand that. But if you can be here by God's grace, you ought to be here. See, well, I just don't feel good. Would you go to? Here's a question. Would you go to work? Well, yeah, I have to. So you're saying your work is more important than your church? So well, I'm not feeling it. Well, they'll sit in the back and at least let people know you're here. Amen. You don't have to spit on your hand, shake people's hands, cough in their face. You don't have to do that. But at least you ought to be in church. You ought to be around the Word of God. Hey, you know, last Sunday night your granddaughter got saved, Rosie? What if she wouldn't have come to church on last Sunday night? Who knows? We don't know any of that. Church is important for you. You need to be here. So number three, I'm going to, by faith, be at every church service at Heritage Baptist Church. Even the ones you don't want to be at, you be at. You don't have the right to pick and choose. Number four, I'm going to give out at least one gospel tract every day. Just one. Man, you can do that so easy. Grocery store, any place like that. Just hand them a tract. You don't have to say nothing. Just hand them a tract. Number five, I'm going to pray for my church, my pastor and his wife every day. You have no idea how important that is to us. I need your prayers. I need you. I'm begging you tonight that you do that. Number six, I'm going to pray for our missionaries and their children by name that Heritage Baptist Church supports at least once a day. I'm just reading a missionary letter of a guy over in England, and he was telling about how that he just begged prayer. He says, boy, my wife's been sick and having some difficult times, and I just ask you to pray for us. People are dropping us financially like crazy. It's not an easy thing out there anymore. They spend more on their dog food than they will on their missionaries. Check it out. Number seven, I'm going to pray together with my spouse every night before we go to bed, even if it's via phone, internet, FaceTime, electronically, whatever it is, it takes possible. I'm going to pray with my spouse every night before we go to bed. I understand that doesn't work sometimes, but boy, I tell you what, you need to do that. You need to pray with each other. Number eight, I'm going to be very careful about my tithe to my local church. I will bring it every week. I hope you get that vision. When I take my check to the bank, I write how much it is, and I write next to it, I write on my little book, the ring notebook I carry, I write tithe. During the week, if somebody gives me something or something, I write tithe on it. And then the end of Saturday night, I'll check that thing out. I'll go through that week, and I said, yep, because the Bible says you're supposed to bring it the first day of the week. Amen? And I'm going to give it Sunday morning. Number nine, I'm going to actively be involved in inviting at least one person every week to one of our services or a meeting. Just one person. I'm going to invite one person to our services every week. And number ten, by God's help, I'm going to find a job at my church that will glorify my precious Father's name. I'm going to find a job at this church. I'm going to find something that I can do, and I'm going to take possession of it. Tonight I want to lay out some projects, and I pray that as we as a church, we consider to undertake these projects in the next 12 months. Usher, you pass out the one in white now. It's the schedule. This is a, may I say, bare bones schedule. There are some things that are going to be changed. It's just like the Deacon Budget Nominee Committee meeting. We got to make sure we get that thing down. It kind of gives you what's going on. It talks about our annual meeting. It talks about our adult Valentine's party. It talks about our mini spectacular planning meeting, our deacon planning meetings, evangelistic meetings, annual pastor and conference workers meeting at North Valley, Intermountain Baptist Fellowship Spring School down in Laurel. We've been talking about this for a couple of years, about Youth All-Nighter, and that's on Good Friday. Starts at 6 o'clock night and 6 o'clock in the morning. We've had a lot of fun at that. A lot of kids got saved at that. And we're going to try to resurrect that again. Mission Conference will be April 7th to the 19th. Pray for good weather. Amen. Brother Steve Heidenreich is going to be with us. April 17th to the 19th. Mother's Day is the 10th. Freedom Sunday is the 24th. Memorial Day, of course, 25th. Last day of public school is the 12th of June, 14th to 18th, our Vacation Bible School. Father's Day is the 21st. That's why I say it's bearable. I believe that this is our dates for our camp. July 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, or 1st. For junior camp. I hope it is. It may be the week before that. Heritage Baptist Church's anniversary on the 3rd, 35th year of our church. And August the 8th, our Saturday annual picnic. August the 12th, my wife and I will be here for 33 years. Family camp meeting the 12th to the 16th. Brother Ray Young going to be with us. Sportsman camp is the 11th to the 12th of September. Come on, guys. Get them signed up for that. Amen. Rudy Smith is going to be with us. September 25th, 26th, Heritage Baptist Ladies and Mini Spectacular. And October the 5th to the 7th is the Intermountain Baptist Fellowship. It'll be here at Heritage Baptist. And Brother Bobby Young is going to be preaching at it. Bobby Brown is going to be preaching at it. And then the 4th is our Thanksgiving Supper. R.B. Willett is 9th to the 10th of November. Our cantata, it worked very well. We're going to do it again this year. December the 13th. Morning and night, and then on the 20th in the morning here at the Baptist Children's Cantata. I put Cantata because we had it in there. I don't know if it would be a Cantata or not. I guess it's up to you guys writing that thing again. And then the 31st will be the watch night service. Is anything that I may have missed on this that we know of? Okay. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah, amen. I'm glad about that. I want to just say a few words and encourage you. There's a preacher named Bobby Robertson. And Bobby Robertson just suffered a heart attack. And while dealing with his health issues, his church split. Right when the preacher's having a heart attack, the church split. And because of the heartache of the church trouble, he had a nervous breakdown. Preacher, man of God, had a nervous breakdown. And of course, you can but guess the old devil was telling him to quit. So just quit. Good night, church people don't like you. Look what God has done to you, giving you heart problems, and now nervous breakdown, and you just quit. At the lowest time in his life, he said that he went to hear a great preacher, Harold Seitler, of the Temple Baptist Church. He's preaching about 30 miles from him. He went over to see him, and they sat down, and he told him what was going on in his life. After listening to this broken heart, old Harold Seitler said, "Son, stand still. Son, just stand still and let God take care of things." I thought that was good. In our vision, let me remind you that our church is, people come, people go. How long have you been here, Fern? 23 years? Ortez's? 24? 25. Let me ask you this. How many been, anybody here been longer? Been longer than that? How many? 29? Okay. Huh? Yeah, how long?
30 years.
So, let me ask you a question. You people stand up, will you? Stand up that have been here at least 20 some years. Okay? Let me ask you. Have we been up and down attendance-wise?
Yes.
How about finances? Crazy. This is not an easy church to pastor. You know why? You always got new people. But on the other hand, it's a good church to pastor because, hey, they love you. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to remind you that. In a vision, I want to tell that when I first came to the church, pastor at Fairview Baptist Church, Dr. Dion, told me, now, Shear, he said, you better buckle up. He says, I'm going to tell you right now, that your church is going to go up and down, up and down. It'll be like a trampoline, amen. People come, people go. People come, people go. People come, people go. And Dr. Jack Howells, right out in front of that door, put his hand over on my knee and said, Shear, you're an idiot. And I said, tell me something I don't know. And he was a cut-up man. He said, well, and he got real serious. He said, Brother Shear, he says, you'll never build a great work here. I said, what do you mean? He says, you won't do it. He says, these people are mobile. These people are military people. And all of that, so is Montana people. They move in, move out, move in, move out. They won't even tell you they're moving, and they're gone. He says, Brother Haynes down in North Carolina, same thing. He's got that Marine base down. By the way, that Marine base is gone, and I don't know where Brother Haynes is now. I don't know where he's at now. But he said, well, and I said, well, Doc, I said, what about? I said, then you answer me this. First of all, God's called me to be the pastor of this church. And secondly, what are you going to do with all these people that come to my church? Not to my church, but come to God's church on Sunday and Wednesday night, and they don't have a father, they don't have a mother around here, they don't have family. They don't have their pastor. And, yeah, I know. I don't know what to tell you. I said, thanks a lot. But I just want you to know that it's okay. We've met, like, Sam Filippo's. Oh, my goodness, about killed me when Joe left. Oh, my goodness, what a great deacon. Just a sweet, and his wife is Mama Gloria. What a blessed lady. Anything you wanted, she'd help you and do things without even questioning. Amazing thing, you know. So thank God, like the Buells, you know, April Buell, not April, but Clyde Buell's mama was here, and but they gone, but now they came back. So I want to encourage you that it's not all lost. We got friends all over the world now, and so if you want to go someplace, just call them up, tell them you're going to stay there. Amen. I want to energize you. I want you to just say, hey, you know what? It's good. Don't look at the things that Satan wants you to look at. Look at the things of God. Look at how God has blessed and God has done great works here. You saw the PowerPoint presentation of all the things that went on last year, and I think there's a lot more things that went on that we didn't have pictures of or time, but. When God lays a vision on your heart, first of all, you got to define that vision, and you got to picture it in your mind, and then you got to stand before your people and tell them, "Hey, this is what God has inspired to do," and I hope you trust God enough to own it and see it take place. There are a few moments, really very few moments, that are more exciting than church life. Then when you see what goes on last year and brought back some laughs and tears and excitement of what went on and what God can do for us next year. The moments are simply awesome to see God when you have some vision and you have some goals in life that this is what I like to see and then it happened. I wish you would have seen this building when we first saw it. There's graffiti on the doors and this building. It was incredible. There were some people in the church at that time wanted us to go get another. There was a house just off 2nd Avenue North. They thought that'd make a great church. I thought, good night. And we had lived here for maybe 6 weeks. And you know, right on 2nd Avenue, that dip there where all that water comes in by that bowling alley? That's where they wanted us to buy that big old white. And I just, that wasn't what God wanted. And then there's another family. One's, they said, build on our property. Six weeks later, they left our church. Well, that'd been a blessing, amen. And just a lot of things went on. But, boy, this thing came in. Started walking around and see what God had for us. And to see it, we had to come up with $30,000 in about 3 months. $30,000. That's a whole bunch of spinucci, brother. And I went to God. I fasted. I prayed. I said, "Dear God," and the day that the next day it was October the 31st, and we were to on the 1st of November we were supposed to give them a down payment of $30,000, and we had the big offering Sunday night. And the only time I let my ushers go out and deacons count money during that time is to go count it, boys. We'll sing, you count. They came back and we had $30,291. I mean, $30,002.91 over. Place went crazy. It was a wonderful time. I had my dad here. It was just an incredible time. Shouldn't happen. But it did. Next year we're supposed to raise $15,000. Got to $9,000. I guess I lost faith. I don't know why. How did I lose faith? I went to the lady and said, "I don't know if I'm going to." She said, "Pastor, you bring it when you can. I won't charge any interest. You need to build in that church. You need to make it comfortable." And by the way, everything paid off. And we thank God for that. Amen. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. First of all, I want to connect the vision to our church's purpose. The church, you should already understand my biblical purpose. That's to win souls and bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to understand that. And by any new vision should relate in some way to fulfilling that purpose to a new level. Preparing things for us that we would really want to do and see what God can do for us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." What do you envision your spear in the ministry here? What's your attitude? What's your desire to see something different? Vision sometimes are misunderstood concept. The spiritual leader seeks to develop a cast of godly visions, and this is more than mere dreaming. Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." I was talking to Brother Scott the other day, and I said, there are some things that need to be done at Heritage Baptist Church. And I said, the things that said they were going to be done never got done. And I said, the reason why they didn't have them written on a note, we would be remembering those things. Oh, yeah, we're supposed to. Hey, how come that didn't get done? So according to God's Word, the purpose He has set forth for ministry is to see that what we prefer in the future area of our ministry, and by the obedience of the Word of God, I'd like to challenge you to mark some time off your calendar to spend time answering those questions. Ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and write down some specific plans in your life. It should be biblically based. If not God's will, you don't want to do it. Is that correct? And again, this is more than dreaming. This is aligning our ministry to development of the Word of God. Personally inspiring. Before you may share in your Sunday school class what you want, you ought to bring it before the Holy Spirit God and get your heart charged. and before attempting to inspire others. And there's a lot of other things going on that I know that God can just do a great work in our hearts. We're not here to build a great church. We're here to build a great people. We're not after numbers. Numbers don't scare me, but we're not after numbers. We're after to build our children, build our teens, build our adults to know and have an answer from the Word of God. My goal has never been to build a church, a large church, but to edify people. Numeric growth doesn't always speak of the spiritual health of people, the church. You pour your life into people. You love them, you encourage them, you disciple them. Sunday school success begins before Sunday. To me, every day leads to Sunday. Tuesday's preparation is vital for Sunday's success. To be ready to minister to God's people on Sunday, it must engage the ministry of soul winning and sermons and lesson preparations and prayer all week long. If you have a church full of people, it's no different than have a garage full of cars if you don't use them. We need to connect with our people, and people will follow leadership when they listen to their Sunday school teacher and you can talk about soul winning and prepare thoroughly researched lessons about evangelism delivered with passionate plea for the state of those without Christ. You ought to be a soul winner. Well, if you don't go soul winner, that don't cut it. Well, yeah, that's a good idea. You ought to be out telling people about Jesus Christ. Be a grace giver, not a scorekeeper. Refuse to hold grudges. When somebody has rubbed you wrong in a wrong way, when they deliberately hurt you, hey, drop the offense. Drop the offense. Just drop it. Leave it alone. It's okay. Hey, let's deal with God, not you. When you are in ministry, you can't afford to limit the Holy Spirit's work in your life. God's given you grace, and so you should be giving it to others. There's tremendous potential in our church. Ministry isn't a few people doing all the work of the church. It can't be. It cannot happen. It is also equipping the men of the local church to do the work of the ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. To do this, we must involve people. We must love them and believe in them and train them and invite them to serve alongside. Don't limit people for their potential to serve. I always say don't limit people to your potential. There's some people that have more talent than you have in your little finger. Just turn them loose, amen. Don't be the lone ranger. It's easy to just do the job yourself the first time. Sometimes it would have even got done better. But at least, if you got some people there, you can train them. This is what you need to do. Oh, well, that's pretty good, but let me show you how you can do that better. The church is not mine. In one sense, on the other hand, the church is yours, and you ought to have an ownership mentality to assign areas of your ministry to it. I own this, my church. I work on the bus. I go sewing, and I work in the nursery. I teach a Sunday school class. I participate in the cantata. I participate in camp. I participate in vacation Bible school. Hey, take ownership of that. This is what I do. That is to say that we should personally invest and be responsible and, may I say, accountable. The truth is the stewardship ministry of our church is Christ, not ours. The finances, the building, the people, all of it belongs to God. All I want to do is bring honor to Him. We have some things that we need to do at our church. Number one, I think the first order of business is we need to replace the cistern with an indoor plastic water tank into building number two. I've done everything I could. I've talked to people. I've got ideas from people. Environmental Protection Agency says that we keep getting a what they call a positive reading on our water in building number two. And I've talked to everybody, I mean all the way to Denver, and they said the last thing, a guy named Chris from the EPA of Montana said, you know, Dr. Shear, I think probably the best thing to do is abandon your cistern and put a plastic holding tank inside your building. And then you could see if there's any kind of growth on that water or anything. And so anyway, we started looking around. At Western Supply over here, I found a 1,500-gallon tank for $648. And so, Lord willing, we're going to cut a hole in our building and put that thing in there, and then we'll get that taken care of so we won't have this water problem anymore, and we'll pipe the water right to it. So it'll be inside. And it will be secure so nobody can pour anything in that water. I don't know about you, but that's always my thought about people coming out here when I'm not here. And we have locks on them, but certainly wouldn't want that to happen. Amen? So as of right now, no drinking building number two water. There are signs up that said do not drink it. They tell me, I was talking to Chris, and Chris says, now I want to remind you this. He says you have to drink 5,000 gallons of that in less than 2 hours to have something really happen to you. I've never been able to drink 5,000 gallons. So anyway, the EPA is very stringent, but I like that. I'm glad about it. I have no problem with that. I don't want to drink something that's not what it is. It's algae. And hey, we all came from algae, so what's the deal? We're just drinking our parents. But anyway, here's some of the things I want to give you. Number one, that's our number one. That's our number one. We got to get that. We did get our baptistry fixed, amen, and it's cool. No, it's warm. Building number one, we need to remodel our bathrooms. At this time, we've kind of held back on our steeple. We do have some funds, but we do need to remodel our bathroom, ladies' bathroom. First thing we need to do is put a drain in the floor. For some of you who don't know this, our building was a truck garage. This is a Cummins dealership. That's how they built it. And right here is a big drain. And this thing is leveled to go like this. The whole building, if you put water over there or a marble, it'll roll all the way down here and roll here. So that's why when we have a problem and someone keeps flushing the bathrooms in there that, hey, stop, you know, that water's going to run. And so before we do anything else, we got to put a drain in the floor, and that's possible. Secondly, we want to update the furnishings in the ladies' bathroom, and we want to put exhaust fans and flooring. And we're looking at that. I want you to be encouraged about that. Men's bathroom, we need to put a drain in the floor, exhaust fans, flooring, sinks, urinal. I thought all the men would say amen on that one. Fixtures, walls, and pitchers. The next thing we want to do is install a wash tub in the boiler room. We have the equipment there. Just needs to be done. We're looking at auditorium carpet. Our carpet has been here at least 25 years. And we need to be looking at that. The railing over there, one of those, we want one over there. Think you could help me on that, brother? All right. And thermostat and auditorium, we're going to be working on that. We're thinking about possibly taking down the existing steeple since it's getting quite, it's a wreck. And try to wait for that, amen. And in time being, think about putting a carport out there. I don't think in 2015, but thinking about it, praying about it. Also, our nurseries want to replace all of our carpets with linoleum. That means that we can clean that whole thing. I really looked around a lot of churches, and they have linoleum in there, and that's so they can get them all cleaned up, cleaned all up. There's also people that put these sponge mats in the, you know, for the little ones. Thought about that. I wanted to ask Lauren Pruitt if you could paint a scene or animals on our nursery walls after we repaint it. Could you do something like that? I'm looking at your beautiful paintings that you're doing. Amazing. Also, we need to put new for market countertops on the first, second nurseries. And we're looking at the hallways and the foyers and the carpet. Also, in my bathroom upstairs, there's mold in there. Somehow, when they put that in there, they did not attach the drain right, and we've got mold in the floor, and so we need to pull that floor up, and we need to also, right above there's a hole in there, need to be fixed. Recarpet the upstairs hallway, either that, or we need to get some, I was talking to a man, he's working on some things at an office building, and he had a syringe, and he was putting glue back underneath there to pat them down. You'll see some of the bumps up there. That needs to be fixed. Air conditioning or a new swamp cooler in here. Brother Benton over in Billings has a air conditioner. It'd be going just straight across, and it blows off. Works really good, and not that expensive. Brother Clyde, where are you at, Clyde? Okay, Brother Clyde saw it. Also, foyer missionary pictures need to be reinstalled. I don't know. Somebody dropped the ball. I dropped the ball. Whatever. They're not up. And we want to have all of our missionaries up there. Also, we're talking about getting LED lighting for our auditorium. We can put some over 100 watt bulbs that are not 100 watts. They're like 15. They'll last for 30 years, but they're quite expensive. We're looking at that. We want to the prophet chamber. We want to take out one of the walls and take away that one existing Sunday school classroom, yours, and move a door out of the prophet chamber, move a door into the prophet chamber, and put bunk beds together. We have them already. Need to paint new carpet, sheetrock up the chapel, so there will only be one door on that side. We want to replace the exit lights with LED. There's six of them need to be done. Hallway. Our new bus needs springs, and Brother Ross has been talking about that. Then I want to talk about some things I think we ought to do in our church. I think we need to start a couples retreat. I think we need to start a fellowship night. I know we have them on Sundays, but it's a little different. I think we need a college and career winter retreat. I really want to push these pastors' conferences to get you all get to go to some of these things. I want to push the First Baptist Church Youth Conference, which is July 13th to the 16th. I want to push a men and boys camp out. I want to push a single life retreat. And I want to push a ministry involvement night. And what that is if you're a Sunday school teacher, you're gonna tell us what you do in your Sunday school class and give people what's going on and encourage people to get a part of that. I want to encourage us to have a first responders appreciation night. July 9th now is the new date for law enforcement and rally around it, so I'd like to do that. Also on June the 14th will be in the morning will be our promotion Sunday. So anyway, those are some of the things that I'm looking at, and I want to encourage you to be part of this. I want to take possession of some of this stuff. This is not just one man's deal. We need to take possession and say, you know what? Hey, I can do that. I can do that. We want you to go through proper channels on it, and I don't want you to come in here and paint polka dots on our walls and, you know, like know what's going on, amen. We have a lot to be done here. And this is a great church, and a lot of things to be done. Now, if you don't want to be part of that, you're not a part of it anyway. Do I hear an echo? We need to focus on some things in our life, in our church. And I'm excited to see what God has for us in 2015 already. I think that if we set up some of these programs and things that are going on in our lives, that we can encourage each other. Everyone needs an excuse to invite their friend to come to church. We need an excuse to say, hey, how about coming out to this? Hey, we're doing this. I think sometimes we used to go roller skating in our church. I think that was until Lauren about killed himself. Then we stopped. He was one crazy man. We used to go roller skating, ice skating. There's a lot of things in our city that we can do, and I just think that we need to be open on some of these things. We need to be doing some things and being part of each other and part of each other's life. I was talking to a pastor the other day, and he was telling me, no, one of the pastors, my son, at his church, every 3 months, one family has three other families come to their home and they have dinner. And he said, Dad, he said, I didn't even know some of the things about my friends that I go to my church with. Didn't even know where they live. Didn't even know, about them. He said, it just changed our heart. In fact, he said, it really changed our church. That we found out that, that certain people, where they live and how they live and where they work and just gave us a time. Church, what do we do when we come to church? We come in, usually on two wheels. We run in the church. Boom. At the time appointed, old Brother Rick, he marches out with his soldiers and they start singing, amen. Get done singing, preacher gets up and welcomes everybody. Then he sits down, the choir stands up, they sing. Sit down, preacher gets up and prays, and then another song and on and on and on. And then, oh my goodness, look what time it is. We've got to get out of here. And we're gone. Now, I know that Sunday nights have helped us a little bit by having food and stuff like that for people who want to stay. You don't have to stay, but boy, I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun over there. And the fellowship. But so many times we don't get to see each other. So many times, like Wednesday night, I just busted to see somebody. I know that poor Nancy and Fern wanted me to stop and do something else. But I want to shake hands. I want to see how you're doing. And I think that's part of our ministry. It's part of our church, the fellowship. I believe in worship. I believe in doing things properly, but I think there's a proper way of fellowshipping too, that we would fellowship with each other and encourage one another as we see these days coming. And when you see some people have need, I've told my Sunday school class this morning, I said, be a listener. A lot of people that have needs will never tell you. They won't tell you. But if you listen real careful to them, they'll tell you without telling you. There's a lot of people hurting in here. A lot of people are going through a lot of troubles in their hearts and their lives, and you don't even know it. How in the world are you going to pray about them? Because when you see them, you're coming into the door. And next time you see them, you're leaving the door. And that's it. That's not good. So I want to challenge you. I want to give you a vision to take something and say, Lord, this is what I believe my family and I can do. Maybe it's cleaning the church. Maybe it's coming down here a little early, making sure the snow's off the cement pad out here. Maybe, I don't know where it is. You have to choose it. You ought to hear it. And I'm sure that there's some things I could certainly help you with and encourage you to do. And I hope that you will take your life, and I hope you take that Bible reading deal and you'd read it. You mark it every day. Don't, and if you get behind, it'll kill you. So make sure you keep reading it and get on with it. Amen. And then tell people about Jesus, the one of the most wonderful promise in the world, that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hey, tell people that Jesus loves them. Tell people that God said there's a judgment coming. And the judgment is death and hell. But there's a God that loves you so much. The Father who gave His only begotten Son to come to this earth so you can go to heaven. What a privilege, what an opportunity. Let's pray. Father, I pray You'd help us now. Lord, may we see some things around this place. There's probably a lot of things I didn't even mention. But Lord God, I pray You'd help us to be more like You. Help us, Lord Jesus, just catch a sense of desire. Help us, Lord, to catch a sense of how important it is for us to give and how important it is to see others who are in need, to take care of them and help them. God, I love You and I want to serve You better. Lord, I pray there'd be anyone here tonight, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that tonight would be that night that they'd receive You as their Savior. Lord, help us not to leave this place without You. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven or not. Preacher, would you pray for me? Just lift your hand up. Let me pray for you. Boy, it would be a terrible thing to leave without Jesus in your heart. Jesus loves you so much. He gave everything just for you. All you have to do is ask Him to forgive your sins and ask Him to come in your heart, and He will. You say, how do you do that? You can pray a prayer. It goes like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe You died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. If you're here tonight, you prayed that prayer. Would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. Let me pray for you. Now, Lord, I pray You'd be with us tonight. Help us, Lord, to be caught up in a vision to serve You, to better the things for You. Lord God, we want to do our best for You. We don't want to someday, as that song sing, I wish I would have done more. Lord, help us to do our best for You in Jesus. I pray tonight that You bless this food now, Lord God. We're going over to eat. May the time and the fellowship be a blessing and help and encouragement. Lord, protect us. Thank You for the moisture, Lord. And we ask You, Lord, to watch over and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.